The Ira Kaufman Podcast is presented by Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon. Now you can save on a luxurious Cadillac and get more peace of mind at Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon with their like-new certified pre-owned Cadillacs. All certified pre-owned Cadillacs are inspected, reconditioned, and warrantied. Right now, get special financing and pay thousands less than new car prices. Visit EdMorrisCadillacBrandon.com. Remember, backed by Morse, that's their price protection promise. See dealer for all the details. And at Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa, want to save money on a new Cadillac? Make sure it's backed by Morse. Our good friend Brian Danahy, general manager at Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa, Ira and I love to go see him. Right now, not only can you lease a 2018 ATS sedan for just $279 a month, zero down, if you find a lower price on a new Cadillac, we'll match it or refund you $500. That's the price protection promise from Ed Morris. Rush to Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa, just west of 275 on Fletcher, or visit EdMorrisCadillacTampa.com. Yay! Yeah. Happy Tuesday, April 24th, draft week on the Ira Kaufman Podcast, the Sage Podcast, starring the Sage of Tampa Bay Sports, Mr. Ira Kaufman. Ira, we just heard from your fabulous presenting sponsors, Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon. We love them. I was out there on Friday. That Cadillac is closer than you think, Sage. The Sage Mobile, as you call it, might be rolling before the summer, so that's pretty exciting. But Ira, how are you today?
Oh, all I'm thinking about is a Cadillac right now, and I wonder if it comes in pewter. I wonder if it comes in pewter over there, Lee. We're 2 days away, Steve. I mean, we've been counting this thing down for maybe 2 months, maybe three. And Lee, it's right within our grasp. Draft day Thursday. And let's say it again. DeKemper trudging over to One Buck Place with all of his closest friends and me, and I don't even know if Isbitz is going. I know Rock Riley's going to be there. I know the commission's coming with 600 of our closest friends, Lee. So I dare say we're going to have a better time than you are, Lee.
You probably will.
Not too you late probably to change will. Your mind, Lee. Not too late to change your mind.
Someone's got to be there.
We haven't heard of any trades as we tape this, Steve, but things are happening. I'm expecting that first round might get shaken up a little bit at the top. You never know. In a quarterback-heavy draft, that's when things start to happen. And I think the Bucs are in very good shape right now. I think there's a chance one of the big three fall in their lap. Mr. Light, if you're listening to this, don't you dare pass on one of those three if they're sitting there at number seven. Don't you dare.
All right, Ira. Of course, Lee is Lee DeKemper, JoeBucksFan.com. I don't know if I said my name, Steve Isbitz. Maybe I didn't. I don't know.
Well, I was going to say it in a couple of
I'm
minutes.
Getting old, Ira.
Yeah,
you were going to say it seven times in the next half an hour, so that's good. Now, Ira, of course, you're referring to the draft party. We'll hear later from the commish. That's Buffalo Wild Wings, South Tampa. Buffet opens up at 6 o'clock. Madness inside, outside. A lot of fun right down the road from the stadium. The commish. Justin, our fearless host, expects they will hear the crowd at Buffalo Wild Wings 4 miles away at the stadium. That it will be that loud.
I'm hearing, Lee, I'm hearing the out-of-towners now represent 12 states. 12 Man. States.
Yeah, I think the final tally, not counting Florida, is 14 states, four countries, and not that doesn't include the U.S. They're all at the official party hotel. They'll be over there after the pre-party.
I hear Hawaii is representing us. Hawaii representing?
Hawaii is a state. Yes, yes. It'll be there. Yeah, no, yeah it'll be there. David. Yeah, Hawaii is represented. Colorado, crazy stuff. All right, Sage, look, we didn't get your wisdom, right, because people tune in for your wisdom all these years covering football. The Bucs schedule came out. We haven't convened for a discussion of that. What's your take? Obviously, it's a murderer's row situation.
Well, Lee, you know, we taped our last podcast on Thursday at One Buck Place in the early afternoon. Well, we probably could have waited another hour, and the schedule was coming out in drips and drabs. Forget about, you know, the league's got to do a better job of keeping
Oh, Howard Katz is irate.
Yeah, this is awful. Absolutely awful. We had the whole Bucks home schedule, you know, like 2 o'clock in the afternoon, 6 hours ahead of time. Now, look. At least one of you two guys read my column last week. And for those of you who didn't, it didn't take me very long because my Friday morning column hit Buck fans right between the eyes. And they deserved it.
Uh-oh.
Not the majority of Buck fans, but a vocal minority of Buck fans who are saying, boo-hoo, wringing their hands, Lee. What do we got? I can't believe we got to play these teams, the Saints on the road, and we got to play the Super Bowl champs, and Pittsburgh's always good on a Monday night. What's going on? You know what? That's a loser mentality, Lee. That's what this team's got to get over. That's what this franchise's supporters have to get over. If this is indeed going to be a different Buck team, Lee, that I've been hearing about, with a dynamic offseason and a big draft coming up, go out and kick a little ass. In other words, Pierre Paul, put Drew Brees on his keister. What's wrong with that? Who says that can't happen?
Well, no one's saying that can't happen, but reality is reality. None other than Steve Mariucci on NFL Network that night.
Hey, he can't coach that guy. I don't like Mariucci.
Well, I mean, I'm going to quote him, and you tell me if he's wrong. Toughest stretch of the schedule. He goes, Tampa Bay's first three games. And he rattled off how teams, since the current playoff format, 1990, since that time, teams that have started the season 0-3, 2% chance of the playoffs. You know, I know, Mr. Isbitz knows, they don't make the playoffs, there's a good chance there's going to be a house cleaning at $1.
Hold on. That's why that bozo is holding a microphone instead of a playbook, Mariucci. Right away he assumes 0-3?
No, he didn't assume that. He just said, well, if they do go
0-3. All right, facts are facts, but let me throw this out. This is the irrefutable fact about the NFL. Irrefutable. I got you right early with a 99-cent word over there. This is the fact about the NFL. Makes it, you know, one of the reasons why it's the most popular sport in America. From year to year, there's a big, big shift between most franchises from year to year. Nobody saw the Eagles. Nobody saw the Jaguars. The Bills making the playoffs. That's a joke. Come on. So
what?
Take it easy, Isbitz. Who says the Eagles are going to win 13 games? Who says the Saints are going to be that good this year? They started off 0-2 last year.
Are we talking about the same team that's got the longest playoff drought in the NFC?
I understand that, but things are supposed to be different. Aren't they supposed to be different, Isbitz? Or are you one of these Buck fans cowering in the corner, Steve? You're cowering right now.
I just disagree with some of the premises that you floated out there, right? First of all, I told you, sat here telling you all year, off-season long, that the Jaguars would be a great team, and they were. So let me throw that out there. But who else did you mention? You mentioned
the Bills.
I'll give you the Bills.
And the Eagles.
And the Eagles were coming off a 7-9 season,
yeah,
with an emerging quarterback who played very well as a rookie. Everybody in Philly was looking at 9-7, so that wasn't a surprise.
The Eagles were not favored to win the NFC East. Do your homework.
No, I said people were looking at 9-7 for the Eagles.
And no one saw Ezekiel Elliott being suspended.
Well, they were
either.
A lot better than 9-7, Steve.
I understand, but the Buccaneers, there's nobody, let's put it this way, Ari, there's nobody out there who thinks the Saints, the Falcons, or Carolina are going to win less than 9 or 10 games. Do you?
Again, every year.
Here we go.
Every year, a last place team. This is like for the last 15 years. This is not a current trend. Every season, a team that finishes last in its division finishes first in its division every year. So there's 8 divisions. Why can't it be the Bucs?
Why can't I
be a little positive over
you
here,
Lee? You can be positive, but that's ignoring recent history. It's ignoring the Bucs' defense smells out loud. It's ignoring they don't have a running back. It's ignoring quite a lot of things. I hope I hope everything you say is true. I really do, because I'll be bluntly honest. When the Bucs win, we all make money. So I want the Bucs to win, but I'm going to Vegas in July. If I had to put money on Vegas, there's no way I'm putting money on them making 9 wins.
Didn't the Bucs just beat a Saints team that was highly motivated in Week 17?
Absolutely.
Did they or did they not?
Ira, I love the optimism. I'm optimistic they can win on opening day, too. They just beat the Saints. Mm-hmm. Hello, the Saints needed the game. They can do it.
And by the way, the Saints are 0-4 the last 3 years in September.
Thank you, Mr.
Saints.
DeCamper.
Saints are a notoriously slow-starting team. If I had to get the Eagles, I'd rather have him in week 2.
Maybe Wentz won't play.
Exactly. I'd rather have him in week 2.
Now, Foles is a Buck killer. All right, I understand that.
Still, I'd rather have him in Tampa week 2, steaming hot. Maybe they're not
flush. Certain rookie quarterback in Tampa Bay got his first road win at New Orleans. So it's not unlikely. I'm just saying a lot of things have to go the Bucs' way. In other words, they have to win at least one of the first three games.
Look, you got to play these teams. You want to play them in December? With a potential playoff berth on the line?
Let's dovetail this into the draft, Ira, okay? Because is it fair to say, unless there's some sort of act of God, the Buccaneers have to draft a cornerback who can start in New Orleans in week 1?
I think that's pretty fair to state.
Okay, well, that's why the schedule sucks, because wouldn't you rather have this guy covering the number two receiver of the Bengals or the Browns? The Bucs don't get any break to let this rookie that they're going to rely on breathe when he gets to the NFL. He's got to go right into Drew Brees, and
you know
that
the
sucks.
Answer to that is put Brees on his ass.
Yes.
That's the answer. Not cover these guys for 4 seconds. Can't be done.
And we're
Brees
talking about
too good.
Even with the additions, they were still bottom of the barrel last year, so...
That's the answer. A revived pass rush.
Revived.
There you go.
They're revived.
There you go. Well, look, the optimism is there. I know you understand the schedule freakout, but...
I don't like the pessimism.
No.
I don't like it.
Yeah, no, there's...
It's understandable.
I mentioned it to Brian Glazer at the Lightning game on Saturday.
Oh, name dropping.
I said, Brian, did you read my column Friday? He said no. but then I continued, you know, it doesn't faze me. And he goes, what'd you write? And I said, I took some of these skeptical Buck fans to task. The ones who said, yeah, we're going to start 0-3. At best, 1-2. We can't beat these teams. And Brian said, what'd you say? And I said, well, why can't they beat these teams? I mean, this is a new Buck team. And Brian Glazer gave me a high five. I wanted to give him a low five. He gave me a high five. He appreciated it.
Was he drinking cognac?
No cognac. He had PDQ chicken in his hand.
Ah.
He bought a big platter for four people. Over
and a Bud Light?
And didn't offer me a wing. Or nothing. I got nothing.
Not a fry?
Not a fry.
Usually, Ira, you always walk away with a French fry or some sort of fried potato product.
When we go to Hooters and DeKemper, you order a plate. Now I'm famous for that. You know, people talk about it when we go out with our friends. Whatever they order looks better than what I got. And I'm grabbing stuff off their plate. And I don't even ask.
No, Iris, your standard line is you're going to share that, right? And that's over.
That's a warning to all the Buck fans that show up Thursday night. If they get some fries or tater tots in front of me, you better put a napkin over them.
And your second favorite saying, that'll cost you an order of running rings.
That's going to cost you an order of running rings.
All right, Ira, you took Bucks fans to task.
I don't like the negative attitude. We've got too much of that around here.
Well, it's not fans' fault that the team perpetually sucks and went 5-11, but... This is the time of year for optimism. You know, Lee said they don't have a running back. They'll have one. They'll have somebody coming up in
a
few days.
If things don't change, there will be a regime change.
I hope not.
And who wants to go through that again?
You see, but it's more than that, Ira. It's every year tells its own story. If you remember when we talked to Joel Glazer in Orlando, he said that a couple of times. Once when I asked him about the GM, he said, well, you know, the evaluation sort of, the season tells its own story. And... there are a lot of ways to go 8-8 or 9-7, and some of those are good, like we saw 9-7 2 years ago, but some of those are awful. And this team doesn't have the luxury of having a bad start again. Are you with us there? Because Cutter went 3-5, then he went 2-6. You can't drop another 3-5 and convince anyone that you're a good coach.
Right.
Now, let me finish this, Ira, right here. After those first four games, the three murderers row there, then they go to the Bears. Then there's a bye week. After that, four of the next six games are at Atlanta, Cincinnati, Carolina, and the Giants. That's tough stuff from the schedule makers.
Again, Mr. Isbitz, how many times am I going to have to remind them? Will you help me?
Well, you want to use my phone so you can record it? You just hit rewind?
Teams don't stay the same.
And I agree with
you. They
don't. Except one division.
Well, this is a killer division. It has been.
Yeah, but what the Bucs have finished... all but 2 years since Chucky left in last place?
Isbitz is worried about the Bengals. He thinks Michael Johnson's going to put the heat on Jameis Winston over there. And Swaggy Baker's going to bust right through Ryan Jensen. That's what Isbitz is worried about.
No, you know, you're twisting what I'm saying here, which is par for the course.
You mentioned the Bengals. Who the hell are the Bengals?
I was talking road games. Road games are still road games in
the
NFL.
I'll say it again. Who are the Bengals? Come on now.
Marvin.
Four out of the next six road games after that start is not what you want.
And, Steve, when I said if things don't change, there's going to be a regime change, by that I meant if things don't change, if it's another 5-11. I didn't say anything about 8-8 or 9-7. If it's another 5-11, there's going to be changes around here, and there has to be.
Yeah.
Sage, you said that before. You said 9-7 are bust. You said that here. And
well,
you said Cutter and Leiter tied.
Well, Cutter was coming off a 9-7. He gets a 1 year grace period. He doesn't get 2 year grace.
No,
period.
You said that for this coming year. They got to go 9-7, or you're done. You said that.
I'm going to stick with it. I'm not backing off that. This is a talented team.
I was talking to Steve the other night, talking about Bucks fortunes, and we were talking about, you know, Shano's struggles and Lovey's struggles. Talking about Freeman. And whatnot, and Jameis, and Steve said, think about it. He goes, Shiano started off terrible in his last year. That's what it was. You know, I was telling Steve, I was like, I fear, and you're going to get mad at me for saying this, I fear that if the Bucks start out 0-4, which is not impossible, because after that first three games, they go on the road, the Bucks start out 0-4, it's going to be bedlam in Tampa Bay.
And then there would be the bye week. And then it would be the
bye week after 0-3, yeah. And then you have the bye in week 4, correct?
No.
It's week 5?
I believe it's a week
5 bye week.
Okay.
Yeah.
At any rate, it's not unlikely they can go 0-4. I hope to God that doesn't happen, but let's say it does. It would be like Shiano revisited. It'll be just people will be out of their minds. And I mentioned that to Steve.
I don't disagree with that.
And I mentioned that to Steve, and Steve said, yeah, only difference is Shiano had Mike Glennon throwing to Tyquan Underwood, not Jameis Winston throwing to DeSean Jackson.
And Jameis Winston entering year 4. Gloves are off. Excuses are off. He's healthy. Jameis Winston has to have a big year.
5 sacks last year for Michael Johnson in the Bengals uniform, Ira. He's played well since he's been there. They love him.
He's no longer homesick. Northern Kentucky.
It's up to your stud left tackle, Donovan Smith, to do a job on
it. All right, Ira, fanretreat.com. Now, I wish we could let it all out today, but by Thursday it'll all be out in the open. Fan Retreat will be at the draft party, giving away some incredible towels, really cool towels, for everybody sweating and panting and freaking out at the draft party. There's also going to be a couple of big announcements. And very soon, Ira, you're going to be able to text Bucks to a special number, Fan Retreat number. You text Bucks, you get a $50 off Buccaneers tickets on their website. Of course, fanretreat.com is your home for all event tickets, travel.
Can I do that? I'm about to book my trip.
Hotels, yep. And your trip is going to be announced. This is all, I even got the artwork right here. It's really exciting. It's going to be revealed on Thursday, and not on the podcast. We'll do it at the party, and then on the website, and everybody will be able to text for their discount.
Isn't the commish teasing people saying he's got a big announcement?
He's got
Thursday?
A big announcement, too. There's a lot going on. But, of course, a lot of it, not all of it, but a lot of your stuff, Ira, revolves around fanretreat.com. The travel with the Sage. Maybe we'll even call it the Bourbon Street Takeover if you decide.
I want to do a little 7-minute speech. Isbitz is telling me just take Q&A. Forget your speech. Put it in your back pocket.
Well, you can do a preamble.
A little preamble.
Ira, you know what you should do? You should do whatever the hell you want. Speaking of whatever the hell you want, you can get all the tickets you want. Fanretreat.com. Use your Joe Bucks fan discount code. That includes the Lightning. Great deals on tickets at FanRetreat.com.
And who wouldn't want to go see the Lightning on the road in the playoffs?
Or at home.
At home. Steve, look, we're not going to take a lot of time with this, but we haven't mentioned the Ring of Honor night is going to be the Monday Night Football. And I think all three of us are kind of in an agreement. I don't think there's a lot of suspense about whose name's
going it's a no-brainer for Dungy. Maybe they do two guys.
Maybe.
Maybe two at once. That's possible. I guess there's a chance that Dungy says he's not interested for some reason. Who knows? Maybe he's protesting something. I don't know.
Let me say it before DeKemper. Father Dungy will be honored. Father Dungy.
Wouldn't you be shocked if he turned that down?
Yes.
I would be.
Yeah, me too. Yes. Me too.
But and he'd be working the game Sunday night, right? Somewhere.
Yeah, it's perfect.
And he'd come back on Monday.
Yeah, he comes home and it's all good.
Yeah, he does a studio up in New York, up in Manhattan.
Yeah, and they have an after party and that's the whole thing. You'll be there, Ira. You'll tell us all about it.
He wants his name above Gruden's. It's not going to happen.
Right. Here's one for you, Ira. one of our commenters on Joe Bucks Fan, we love the commenters. Commenters are awesome. And they come at subjects from all angles. It's beautiful. And I tell people, that's part of the charm of JoeBucksFan.com is the commenters. They're so unique.
Whether they agree or disagree.
Yeah, they're great. They're great. Every once in a while, they misbehave. We got to put people in a cooler. But overall, 99% of the time, they're fantastic. And one guy, and I can't remember who, and forgive me.
Hey, by the way, some guy, Leah, some guy on Twitter last week said, Ira, I need your help. You got to get me unblocked off Joe Bucks Fan. They clobbered me a couple of years ago. I don't know what to do about it, Lee.
Well,
you know who it was?
Well, unfortunately, we've had to block more than a few people. So
all right.
I hate to say it, or ban, we call it. Not necessarily block.
Anyway, well, back to your fan. Back to the fan.
This guy, great sense of humor. He was clearly in a trolling mode. And he said, if the Bucks use their noggins, they would retire Rondé Barber's number at the Eagles game.
Ooh. Oh, boy. Boy, did he own Donovan McNabb, Lee. It was a beautiful, beautiful thing. And don't think I'm not going to use that significantly when I finally get to present Rondé in that damn Hall of Fame room, which should have happened in February, but it didn't. I assume he's going to make the final 15. We'll see. But if he does, one point about Donovan McNabb, and McNabb will be the first guy to say, This guy killed me. He absolutely killed me. I think there was another regular season game where he picked him off twice. Here's the funny thing about McNabley, and you can look this up. He's not a guy who threw a lot of interceptions.
No, he wasn't.
He is not. I think he's top 10 or 15 all time. Lowest interception percentage. And Rondé Barber kept outsmarting this guy. That says something about Rondé Barber.
Oh, yeah. And forgive me, was that the Matt Bryant game where he had two picks?
It could be. Could be the Matt Bryant game.
I know it was in Tampa.
Yeah, it
Sunday afternoon game.
It was in Tampa.
All right, Sage, there's a draft coming up here, and a little trivia question.
You sure
for
about
you.
That?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Not a trivia question. Wrong phrasing. What does every head coach think about the draft? What is their approach to the draft for every head coach outside of Belichick?
Every head coach says, I got to get me some immediate contributors, some impact players.
Fill my needs. Head coaches care about needs. They don't care about best player or any of this crap. They want needs.
Upgrades.
Upgrades and needs. And last year was unique with the Bucks because they were so in love with a player who they never thought was going to show up in the first round. And they took him, and maybe that was a mistake. We don't know that, but maybe we don't know. You know, 3 years will tell that. But this year, in a crisis situation, a crisis schedule in September, at least you'll agree with that.
And crisis. And a crisis at a position.
And a crisis at two positions. Is it this draft as simple as Dirk Cutter saying, Jason, you know the deal. We need a starting corner and a starting running back, and then we'll get whatever we can after
and
that.
Well, here I am, you know, talking up Quentin Flowers, who seems like a luxury over here to Messrs.
Quentin Nelson, you mean,
and the Kemper.
Nelson. Yeah, I don't think you want to confuse him with Eric Flowers.
No. Steve, I cannot argue
Quentin
with
Flowers
your main
was a Notre Dame player, wasn't
that, they are in bad shape at corner, particularly at corner. I keep coming back to it, and so do you, Steve. Grimes, still a good to very good player, but Lee, realistically, how long does Grimes have?
35 in 1 year contract.
They're fortunate they got him back for 2018.
And Miko said he was playing, 80% last year?
And the problem goes back to Hargrave. See, you know, the problems are when you struggle with a draft pick, a premium pick. Now, it's not a quarterback. Those guys set you back 5 years.
Yeah.
When you make a mistake, that's a 5-year problem. But if Hargraves was a very solid outside corner right now, we're not having this discussion. But that's not the case.
The Bucks have painted themselves into a corner. For reasons unknown, there were all kinds of cornerbacks out there to go get. They haven't gotten one. Robert McClain, he reinforces my point that the Bucks coaches do well with veteran corners, not rookies. Robert McClain surprised a lot of people. I'm not saying he was Deion Sanders, but he certainly wasn't Ryan Smith either. He did okay. He's out there still. Why they didn't bring him back, I have no, if nothing else for depth, I have no idea. There's all kinds of other corners that are still out there. They haven't done anything. And I just saw right before we started taping this very podcast, Chucky's gone out and gotten like 5 free agent cornerbacks, something like that. Bucks have done nothing. And your guess is as good as mine. Why? I mean, do they think that much of Ryan Smith? Do they think Hargraves can turn it around like that? Do they think Javion Elliott can turn it around? Do they think Mike Smith can wave a magic wand all of a sudden, make these guys good? Same guy who couldn't figure out to put Brent Grimes on Julio Jones in Atlanta? Man, oh, man, I think
that's... good point, Lee. Steve, is it far-fetched to say that there are some at one buck place and on the executive suite level who think that it's not fair necessarily to judge some of these young corners when the pass rush sucks? In other words, an enhanced pass rush, which by all standards should be a given this year. It can't be any worse. They've got 4 new defensive linemen. 4 out of the 8 that you're going to carry or whatever. That's 4. That's before the draft.
And that's not counting Noah Spence coming back.
That's not even counting Noah Spence. So what I'm saying is, you know, maybe they think that Ryan Smith's been judged harshly by some Buck fans, and that he's a better player than he's shown, but he's hanging out there with no help because the quarterback is comfortable.
Oh, of course, there is some of that sentiment, but it doesn't change the talent level of a Ryan Smith or whatever happened with Hargraves that got him benched. Look, if the coaches thought, man, we got no pass rush, Hargraves is getting hung out to dry, why would they bench the guy? Why would they sit him down, move him inside, cut his reps, and in favor of Robert McClain, a veteran, and Ryan Smith, who started like 9 games?
Hargraves is going to play a lot of football this fall. Don't think that Hargraves is going to be put out the pasture. That's not going to happen.
It looks like he's going to play nickel, and they'll see what he's got.
All right, so 65-70% of the time he's going to be on the field, Lee.
Let me go back to the draft.
Yeah.
Because this is where the draft is here. Lee's question was valid. Okay, they didn't do anything in free agency. I'm asking you, is it as simple as maybe they're like, you know what? Of all the guys we could get in free agency, if we just go draft these two corners, which we think we can get, we'll be in good shape.
Lee, you can't take Denzel Ward if his rating on your particular board is significantly less than a Quentin Nelson. You can't take Denzel Ward. That would be a mistake in my mind, unless you think the guy's a surefire star, a guy who's going to be a Pro Bowl. You don't take him just because you think he's the best cornerback prospect in this draft. That's not enough.
Well, right now I would agree with you for a couple of reasons. One, you know, you guys know, and there's five listeners out there that don't know this. And for everybody else that does, I'm sorry to repeat myself. And this will be the last time I think I'm going to repeat myself. Or no, well, there's always a chance.
Oh, wait a minute, Steve. This could be it. He might be saying it right here.
You know I'm going to say it.
I know he's going to say it.
I would take Nelson over a rookie corner at number 7.
And why is that, DeKemper? Drum roll.
The coaches can't develop a rookie corner.
Oh, the Bucs don't like it when you say that, Lee. They don't
wrong.
Like it.
Prove me wrong. And I want them to prove me wrong. Prove me wrong. Trust me, prove me wrong. Because I make money when they win. Prove me wrong. But no, I wouldn't even blink an eye.
Steve, Nelson, when you get locked into a position, that's a problem.
Well, here's
the
thing.
It's a problem.
Well, here's the thing. And there's another reason why I agree with you for this. Not just because I don't trust the Bucs defensive coaches with rookie corners. All of a sudden, within the past week, the right side of the offensive line is beyond sketchy. I just wrote Monday afternoon on JoeBucsFan.com. If you combine the number of games in the last 3 years, J.R. Sweezy and DeMar Dotson have missed 37 games in the last 3 years. Those two guys combined. Dotson, obviously, earlier this month, had knee surgery. He's out till training camp at best. He's out till training camp. Sweezy, who the hell knows? Who the hell knows? And so all of a sudden, offensive line is a heck of a lot bigger need than it was a week and a half ago.
Yeah, it's interesting, unless you think those guys were just terribly overrated. I mean, they do like Benenock. The offense was better with Benenock playing a lot. Sweezy missed the last few games. It was better. Dotson obviously missed his share of time. And, you know, they moved the ball. Peyton Barber ran the ball.
They had no problem moving the ball whatsoever the whole season.
Right. Now, Steve, one thing I want to clarify. I like to clarify on this podcast. You know, I'm getting into this best player available mode, you know, with you don't take the corner if he's rated lower than the guard. There are limits to that, Lee. Obviously,
oh, sure.
Obviously, if Josh Allen has a 9.4 rating, you're not taking Josh Allen. If the receiver has a 9.4 rating, you're not taking the receiver at 7. That's common sense. So, you know, a linebacker, you're probably not taking the linebacker. Probably.
I don't think so, yeah.
Even with the Beckwith injury. So you factor in all these factors. But you can't look at me, Steve, and say they don't have a needed guard. I mean, you can't say that. There's a little problem there. There's a little problem opposite Ali Marpet. You don't like Sweezy when he's healthy, Steve. Never mind.
They need a guard, but they need a lot of things. I don't think guard is their biggest problem.
But this guy's exceptional.
But let's pretend you're Dirk Cutter. Dirk Cutter's in the room with Light, and the Glazer pops in and says, "What are we doing?" And Dirk says, "Well, damn it, we need a running back and a cornerback or two. Because I've seen my defense. We just invested $20 million in upgrading this defensive line. Why do that without fixing the corners?"
At least.
I mean, what are they doing?
At least at running back, and this might be a stretch, at least at running back, they have a guy who for a few games seemed adequate. At least they got depth. They have no depth at cornerback. I mean, none. Why management? Maybe it was Cutter's call. Maybe it was Jason Light's call. Maybe it was a Glazer call. I have no idea why they have done nothing to address cornerback, and in fact, let guys walk away. It's a mystery to me.
You're going
to
see a lot of activity at cornerback for the Tampa Bay Bucs, Steve. I don't
activity?
Know.
Activity? What does that mean?
Activity means they're going to pick up two, maybe three guys
that
are not on the current roster. They're going to do it. They have to. Jason Light knows that. One or two of them could come on the final cuts, Lee. There's going to be some big-time cuts. You know it,
there
and
always
I know
is,
it.
Yeah.
Always is. That doesn't mean they don't need a rookie corner, a young guy that they can believe in. Doesn't mean that. And if Denzel Ward is highly rated, you take him. If the big three are gone, you take him. But I have some questions about Denzel Ward. I've been told by people in the know. In the know. My sources, like DeKemper likes to say, my sources tell me he's not considered on the same level as Marshawn Lattimore. He's not. If he was, I wouldn't have any problem taking him at 7, but he's not.
Interesting.
He's a cut below. He's a cut below.
Interesting.
Lattimore, hell of a player.
I don't care if he's as good as Lattimore or not. I want to know how much better he is than Ryan Smith. I mean, you're not going to win games if you don't have some decent corners. You've said it 100 times. I don't know how they're going to do it. I hope there's a draft day trade, Ira. I hope they get creative here and get an established corner in here. I have Lee's same concerns. But if the guy's a good talent, let's say the coaches, for argument's sake, let's just say that people aren't going to like hearing this, but let's say the coaches, for example, are the ones who ruined Vernon Hargreaves, right? Well, it took him a couple of years. So if you draft a corner and he's got a world of talent, he'll be adequate. The Bucks won 9 games with Vernon Hargreaves playing 99% of the snaps. Mm-hmm. Brent Grimes played 99% of the snaps. Mike Smith doesn't even want to rotate these guys. He just wants a guy to plug in there. And I just think I think they're going to do it as much as the fans
Lee,
are going to scream.
Lee, here's another way to look at it. How much faith do you have, Lee, that a second-round running back, who are still top-notch prospects, the LSU kid or Michelle.
Georgia guys, yeah.
Was it Michael, Michelle? I'm the guy who called Revis Darrell for 3 months.
So did I. So yeah. We're in the same boat, Ira.
Lee, how much faith do you have that a second-round running back would be very productive if they don't pick up any help on the offensive line? You got all kinds of faith that the offensive line, as constituted, is going to do a good enough job blocking for a second-round running back?
I'll just say this, and I wrote this story Monday on JoeBucksFan.com, and I wrote something last week of a similar subject. There's three angles I can come up here, one of which is, you know, Doug Martin stunk last year, and many Bucks fans to this day wail about the offense. Oh, my God. Well, the last 5 games of the season, Peyton Barber, at least one game, had 4 yards more.
I saw how you broke that down. That
and
was
so,
nicely done.
You know, if people are going to blame the offense, blanketly, a sweeping statement that the offensive line was the reason why the Bucks couldn't run, then someone's got to tell me, number one, why did Peyton Barber do so much better? Number two, well, someone called, the Bucks just called about the cornerbacks. You hear the sirens. Number two, if you believe the offensive line was a problem for Doug Martin, then you are, in a sense, telling me that the offensive line laid down for Doug Martin and instead blocked for Peyton Barber. I don't buy that for a split second. Also, a good running back can mask, if you're of the mind of Bucks' offensive line is horrible. I think they're okay. I'm not saying they're good. I'm not saying they're great. I'm not saying they're the 76 Raiders. I'm saying they're adequate. You know, it's not a complete jailbreak every snap. Not like the Giants. Not like the Broncos. C.J. Williams, I forget his name.
Anderson.
C.J. Anderson with the Broncos. Horrible offensive line. Horrible. Arguably the worst offensive line in the league. He got 1,000 yards.
Why isn't he a Buck, Steve?
Yeah, that's I was going to ask you that. Where is C.J. Anderson? Where is he? The guy can run.
I don't get it.
Where is he? I don't get it either.
I don't get it.
What the hell's going on here? Bring him in for a tryout. You know, buy him a house at the beach just for the draft. Like, buy him a house at the beach. Rent him a house.
Invite him to the commission's party.
Just say, look, hang out there. We'll get you everything you want, first class. And if we don't have anybody.
And don't sign with anybody.
Yeah, don't sign with anybody until we talk to
you. Oh, I know what you're talking about. Like, you know, what the Chiefs used to do in AFL, NFL days. They would kidnap dudes.
They'd stash a guy.
Yeah. Stash guys.
I'm just kidding around, but where is he? They need a running back. And you know what, Ira, you said, well, second round running back, if they get him in here, what makes you think? What makes you think he's going to beat out Peyton Barber? For a veteran coach who isn't the most trusting of rookie running backs with the gauntlet facing him, you think he's going to want to trust a guy or a guy he knows can pound out 4 yards a carry?
That's a hell of a point.
You know, Lee, I kind of look at it. I understand what you just said about, you know, a really good running back can really maximize, cover up for some deficiencies on the offensive line. Steve, I tend to look at it the other way. A very good offensive line and a running back, like, I'll give you a guy who comes to mind. A guy who's like a Chris Ivory.
Okay.
Chris Ivory. Nobody's comparing him to Adrian Peterson. But my point is, if you do get Nelson, if you do, you plug him in, and I'm plugging him in at left guard. Take that, Ali Marpet.
Thank you.
And take that, offensive line coach. You don't mess with Marpet, and you play Nelson where he's used to playing.
Thank you.
Stop fooling around. Anyway, you do that. You got a nice little interior line. You got full of nastiness, including Jensen. And by the way, I don't know if you read Nelson, some of the comments I wrote in my column today. Some of the things he said is fantastic. Yeah. Absolutely. His motivation as an offensive lineman, you ready for this, DeKemper? To take away my opponent's will to continue playing football.
Oh, you love that.
That's what he said.
Well, I mean, I can say that too. It doesn't mean I'm going to do it.
That's what he – when's the last time – have you heard Kevin Pamphile say that? Has Pamphile said that?
I heard you say that to Roy Cummings on that TV show. you take away his will to cover the Bucks.
Oh, my goodness. That is music to Jason Light's ears. Now, that doesn't mean he's going to take it. Yeah. Anyway, what I'm saying is a really good offensive line. I think you can have a robust running game without getting a stud running back.
All right.
That's all I'm saying.
EdmoresCadillacTampa.com, EdmoresCadillacBrandon.com. Those are the websites. Start your car shopping search. Fabulous offers through April, backed by Morse, the great guarantee. You can check it out there. Also, offers are on our website at JoeBucksFan.com. Ira, final point. We're a little bit shorter today. We got a lot of things going on. Final point. I'm a little confused by this desperate need for a guard. I'm just being straight with you.
I didn't say that desperate.
Well, I'm even confused by a need for a guard. You got Jensen. He's supposed to be the best center in the NFL. You just paid him the most money. He's young. He's nasty. All this stuff. Now you got Marpet back where he belongs.
No, you don't. You got him at left guard.
Well,
you make it.
He's back at guard. We can't do anything about that. He's back at guard.
Right,
so how is this team going to think, man, we're aching for a guard? They like Evan Smith. Pamphile, they're saying, Benenock, they're saying can play guard. They're saying he's a punishing run blocker. Pass blocking, not so much. And Dotson, in their minds, hey, he had a little cleanup on his knee. He'll be right back. I don't believe they think for a minute that they have some sort of great need at guard.
Lee, the one thing, and I hope you're not writing things down like Hizbitz does when I talk.
I got a microphone in one hand and my phone in the other.
Lee, I need your help on this because, as usual, Steve leaves out part of the equation. I understand this thing about the desperateness at guard. I wouldn't call it desperate. But, Lee, what he's not factoring in is this guy is a generational talent at the position. So they say. Have you heard one negative thing about Quentin Nelson?
No.
You've read everybody from McShay, Kuiper, I'm being serious.
Have you heard one guy
question Quentin Nelson?
I have not. I'm not questioning him either. Like I said, the guy might be.
So, Steve, if you got that type of player, better than Zach Martin, better than this guy, better than that guy, you're not taking him at 2, you're taking him at 7. I'm not saying you trade up to 2 and take Quentin Nelson. I never said that. But if he falls in your lap at 7, you take him because I'm telling you right now, if Barkley and Chubb are gone at that point, he will be the highest-rated player on the Bucks board.
Oh, yeah, I believe that.
You will have a higher rating than Denzel Ward. Not a doubt in my mind.
I have never doubted his talent in any way. It's just a personal preference with me. I've said it before. I'll say it again. I've yet to see a guard change a game. And Bucks need a game changer at running back. I'll be happy if they draft Nelson. Just personal preference. I wouldn't do it. And I know there's some.
You don't like guys out of Notre Dame.
No,
Steve. You're missing the point.
You're missing the point. I'm happy to see him draft Nelson. I think it'll be great. Be a lot of fun. Be exciting to have a nasty group there. And I think Peyton Barber would benefit immensely. And they'll draft a running back later after they get a corner. And they'll
another third day waste.
And they'll cross their fingers. It's that's the way I think it would go.
Look, I understand Lee's point. You can get a guard in the second round. People say the same thing about running back. But you're not getting Barkley in the second round.
No.
And you're not getting Nelson in the second round. I mean, those are the facts. And you're not getting Chubb in the second round.
No.
Those are the facts of this draft.
The big three, yeah.
Yeah, the generational talent, Ira, they're not going to show up in the second round. And those are the difference makers, although at Lee's point, a difference maker at guard is a little tougher to figure out. Of course, Ira, you are a generational talent, so get out of here. Rest up. Big draft party Thursday.
Our next podcast is going to be on draft day, right, Steve?
Another podcast very early, draft day morning. Subscribe, iTunes, Podbean, Google Play, leave a review. Ira loves them. That's it, Ira. Get out of here, man.
The 2018 Miller Lite Bucks Uncensored Draft Party is coming up fast, April 26th and 27th. It's a two-night event, but that first night, it's going to be wild. We've got a $20 all-you-can-eat buffet, 2,500-square-foot tent outside, a huge HD LED screen to show the draft, and a DJ pumping tunes all night to keep the party going all night long. We will have giveaways sporadically throughout the night and a major announcement. If you're a Bucks fan, you are going to want to be in attendance fans for this big announcement we will have that Thursday night. Again, two-night event. It's April 26th and 27th at the Buffalo Wild Wings in South Tampa off of Southdale Mabry. Join me, Justin Pulowski, the commish, for the 2018 Miller Lite Bucks Uncensored Draft Party. And speak softly and carry that big mother
boom, you dump a
stick.